This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Hey, what's up? It's Dean Bakari. Welcome back to the podcast. On today's episode, we are going to be going over part two of our two-part series on emotional intelligence. Now, if you remember in the last episode, which by the way, if you haven't listened to yet, you should start there. That's episode number 234, titled Emotional Intelligence, in parentheses, part one. And in that episode, if you remember, we went over, you know, what is emotional intelligence? Well, it's about your ability to recognize, empathize, understand emotions, both your own emotions as well as other people's emotions, and then to use that awareness to make the most appropriate decisions in any given circumstance. So in short, we said emotional intelligence is about learning to use your emotions instead of letting your emotions use you. Learning to be able to transform an angry feeling into one that is more helpful to you. Into one that allows you to turn that anger into drive or determination or motivation or inspiration to make things happen. And so we said emotional intelligence is an incredibly powerful skill that extends into every area of our lives. And in this episode today, we're going to go over some strategies, some tips, some techniques, some ways in which you can leverage emotional intelligence and utilize it within your own life. And what we're going to do is go over one by one each of the four areas, main categories of emotional intelligence as outlined in the book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Those four categories, again, are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. Now in the tips, we'll break down each one of these areas, and then we'll talk about some tips you can use to put them into practice in your own life. You ready? Let's dive in. Now, the first strategy is self-awareness. Self-awareness strategies. Now, if you remember self-awareness, it's about understanding what you do well, what motivates you, what satisfies you, what situations or people bother you most. This is the foundational emotional intelligence skill. It's crucial. It's really about understanding yourself, right? Knowing yourself. And so some strategies to help you do that. The first one is to watch the ripples of your emotions. You want to take time to recognize when you act out of feelings and emotions irrationally and what the long-term effects of those actions actually are on you and on the people that your emotions are directed at, right? So it's about being able to watch yourself and say, hey, okay, I might be really pissed off right now, but is it really going to benefit me in the long run if I lash out at one of my employees or at my wife? Or at my kid, or anybody. Is that going to help anybody? Is it going to help me? Is it going to help them? What's the long-term impact? What are the ripples of these emotional reactions and responses? And how can I ensure that those ripples are going to be moving in a positive direction rather than in a negative one? The next tip is to keep in mind that you don't want to minimize discomfort, right? It's human nature to try to avoid painful, unpleasant thoughts and emotions, but hey, that stops you, man, from getting in touch with your real emotions, from really feeling it. So if you feel like shit, hey, say, right now I feel like shit. I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because when I woke up this morning, I, wanted to give my wife a kiss, but she pushed me away. Or maybe it's because when I got to work, you know, Brad from accounting made fun of my t-shirt or my shirt. And for some weird reason, that just got to me and I couldn't shake it. And then that led to me getting angry at a client, which then led to me getting angry at my coworkers, which then reverberated into this negative day when I could have just felt that little pain there, dealt with it right then and there. Maybe told Brad, hey, look, man, doesn't feel good when you say that kind of stuff. Don't talk to me like that. And then boom, that way you feel good about yourself because you stood up for yourself. And maybe you still feel a little crappy because somebody said something bad about the t-shirt you're wearing, but you'll at least know walking away from that situation that you didn't just let him make fun of you. Or you could just laugh it off. Hey, man, whatever, bro. I like the shirt. Doesn't matter. You ain't wearing it, playa. And you just walk off, right? But if you feel uncomfortable because of whatever circumstance, then it's usually not okay to just push that down and resist feeling that discomfort. It's a good idea to just feel it, understand it, learn more about why you feel the way that you feel, and then move forward, right? So that's the second tip to keep in mind about self-awareness. The third thing to keep in mind is to watch for your emotional triggers. Now, you want to strive to identify the exact situations and people and scenarios that spark an emotional reaction within you, whether that be positive or negative, good or bad. So if you can do that, you can then shed some light on yourself, right? You aren't left in the dark about the cause of your feelings. And then finally, the final tip before we move on to the next one is to stay aligned with your values. Oh man, this is so important. So important. Staying aligned with your values. Now, you know, emotions can cause behaviors to conflict with one another, to conflict with values rather. And so the key is to practice self-awareness so that you always have a clear sense of when your action needs to change. Hey, look, if you're doing something that is not in alignment with your values, you know, right? You know, if, for instance, health and fitness, that's a high value for me. That's one of my top values, is to maintain optimum, maximum health and fitness so that I can live, so that I can have longevity, so that I can bring energy into the work that I do and into my family and friends, so that I can have some more pep to my step, so that I can live a long, healthy, inspired, and energetic life. Because I can't do what I do without being healthy, without being in line with my physical fitness goals, right? And so that's a high value for me. Now, if I skip the gym a few days in a row and eat like crap, then I'm not going to be feeling good because I'll be living out of line with my values. I won't be living in alignment with my values. So that's going to then lead to this downward spiral of emotions. Oh my God, what am I doing? You know, I was on the ball. Now I fell off. You know, I thought I'd just do one off day, not go to the gym, eat like shit. But now look at this. This is day number four. What am I doing? I'm not even on vacation. What's happening right now? Yeah, man, I just must not have the motivation. Maybe I lost it. Maybe I don't have the same fire anymore. You know, so all these negative thoughts then end up spiraling out of control in your head just because you made a choice to fall out of alignment with your values. So it is so key. And there's no such thing as good values, bad values. You choose your values, what matters to you. And then live in alignment with those values. Turn those values into virtues, meaning make them practices, right? Live the values that you espouse and that you desire to have in your life and that you want to be about. Next, so the next category of emotional intelligence is about self-management. Now, self-management is your ability to use your self-awareness, what we just talked about, to direct your behavior however you see fit. Now, that makes sure that you stay flexible, right, and unfrazzled in different situations, new circumstances, new situations. For example, you might not feel inspired to work one day, right? Tomorrow morning you wake up, you might not feel good about going to work. You might not have the energy, the inspiration, but hey, can you motivate yourself to do it anyway? That's self-management. Being able to get yourself to do something even if you don't feel like doing it. Here are some tips for self-management, some self-management strategies. First is to practice breathing. Now, getting enough oxygen is crucial, critical for staying calm and for having energy, right? So practice deep breathing exercises so that you can physically calm yourself down when you're feeling stressed, when you need energy, when you're anxious about something, you're scared, nervous, whatever. Hey, just take a beat. You know, breathe in for 3 counts, exhale for 3 counts. And what you'll notice is that just taking that momentary pause in your day, you know, it's not going to take anything away from your day, but it's going to bring you back so much peace, so much focus, so much awareness and self-management. So that's the first idea, the first tip about self-management based on emotional intelligence is to practice breathing. Next tip, make lists of emotions and reasons. Make lists of emotions and reasons. List out those emotions and list out those reasons for those emotions. So whenever you feel your emotions and your rationality conflicting with each other, make a list, flesh them out. This is going to help you determine which feelings are not as valid as you thought they were, right? Write them down. Just simply write them down. You don't need to do anything. Just write down how you feel. And you will magically actually end up feeling better because you're going to look at that list and you're going to be like, man, why do I feel this way? This isn't helping me. Just being aware of it allows you to manage it. So keep that in mind. Next tip, think through what succeeding feels like. Maybe you've heard this before, but when your brain visualizes something, anything, and it does so vividly with intensity, well, it responds in the same way as if it were actually experiencing it, right? And there are research studies that prove this, that brain imaging studies that actually show certain areas in the brain lighting up that say, hey, you know, when there's actual real deep, true visualization going on, not foo-foo nonsense, but actual visualization, when your brain is truly visualizing something and when it does so with repetition, that part of the brain lights up that says, hey, I'm actually experiencing this in reality. That's pretty crazy. And the idea here is that priming yourself with mental visuals of succeeding, achieving your goals, crushing it while you're on your way to your goals, right? If you're about to go to the gym that day and you wake up in the morning, you think about, hey, today, oh, baby, I am gonna squat 275. And you think about it. You think about yourself putting the plates on the bar. You think about yourself suffering through that repetition, each repetition. And you think about pushing yourself so hard that you set a new PR for yourself, a new personal record, right? So it's not just about visualizing yourself looking and bowing and watching everybody clap for you. It's about also visualizing the process, feeling yourself doing it, doing the thing that allows you to achieve the goal. You get what I'm saying? It's not just about the product. It's also about the practice. And so you want to visualize both. This is very, very important and very powerful. And here's how you do it. Take time each night to imagine yourself acting how you want to be in situations, right? So just imagine your desired outcome. What do you want? How do you want to ensure that you get that? And then just play it in your mind like a movie. And you visualize it in your mind as if you're walking into that office, meeting with that new client, speaking to them about why they are there with you, what their needs are, how your product and your company and your services or whatever can help make them more money, or you visualize how you're going to crush that sales presentation. You walk yourself through mentally through every single step, and then you imagine yourself, you know, the client or the boss or whoever coming and shaking your hand. The deal is done. Everything was successful. Or maybe you need to talk about something pressing with your spouse. You imagine yourself calmly going over everything that you need to go over with them, him or her. And you imagine how they respond. They understand where you're coming from. You understand where they're coming from. And you avoid any irrational outbursts on both parts. You imagine a smooth conversation. You imagine a positive outcome as a result of that smooth conversation. You imagine yourself hugging your spouse, giving them a kiss, and feeling good about it. So that's an example of visualization. And it's not just important, it's just straight up cool to be able to do this, you know, to play out your life like it was a movie in your mind before it actually goes down, and then tricking your mind to think that it's actually happening. It's freaking cool. I geek out on this stuff, man. And that's the final self-management strategy that I'm sharing with you. Now, this next category, social awareness, some social awareness strategies, start with practicing the art of listening. That's the first tip. Practice listening. Tune out. When you're talking to somebody, tune out the words just for a moment. Just briefly tune out the words and focus instead on their tone, their tonality, their volume, the speed at which they're talking, and their inflection, right? Maybe not when you're talking with somebody, but maybe sit down on a bench and do some people watching. You can notice when somebody is uncomfortable. You can notice when somebody opens up their hands. You can notice when somebody is grabbing the back of their wrist, which makes them look a little bit nervous. You can notice when somebody's eyes are darting in every which way, every direction, which gives off a sketchy vibe as if they're hiding something. You can notice when, for example, if you walk up to a group of people, you want to start a conversation with that group of people. Well, if there's a closed circle and everybody's looking at each other, it's likely not going to be received well if you try to break through into that group and start that conversation. But if there's a circle of people and there's an opening, so the circle isn't totally closed, well, that is a subtle sign that they are open to being approached. And so that way you might have more success if you try to go in there and start a conversation. You get what I mean? This is about listening, not just audibly, but it's about listening to body language. It's about listening to the way in which somebody speaks, the volume, right? The speed, and how you can tell when somebody's smiling when they pick up the phone, right? But you can also tell when somebody's being fake, they're giving off a fake smile if you see them in person. There's so many little subtle cues and details in these different social triggers and cues that people give off constantly. We're always doing it. And this is an important skill to master if you want to understand emotional intelligence on a mastery level. So practice listening. That's the first tip about social awareness. Number two, the second tip is to take a 15-minute emotions walk each day. Now, this is something that I've been doing for years. I don't call it an emotions walk. I just call it my nature walk. And it basically, every day, I go out for 15 to 20 minutes and I just walk around. I observe my emotions. And I get grateful, and there's a number of things that I do, but the way that it's described in this book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, is they recommend each workday just take 15 minutes to walk around and observe the emotions, body language, and interactions of everyone around you. It'll help you understand people more effectively. It'll help you understand how you behave as well. Next, Use more open-ended questions to perk up dying conversations, to get more details from somebody, or to drill down on a potential customer. Now, this is an excellent social awareness tip. Now, there's a big difference between a closed-ended question, open-ended question. Closed-ended question only has two answers, either yes or no. That's it. People might try to answer them differently, especially politicians, but a closed-ended question is only meant to be answered with either a yes or a no. So, for example, a closed-ended question is this: will you work hard if we hire you? Will you work hard if we hire you? There's only a yes or a no response to that. Now, how would you turn that into an open-ended question? Well, how will you help the company if you are hired to work for us? How will you help the company if you're hired to work for us? That's an open-ended question because you can't just answer yes or no. You look like a doofus. How will you help our company if you're hired to work for us? That requires more thought. It requires an answer that has more depth, basically. So, another example of a closed-ended question. Hey, did you like living in Switzerland? There's either a yes or a no. How to turn that into an open-ended question might be like this. Hey, what was it like to live in Switzerland? What was your favorite thing about Switzerland? And then the final example. Hey, are you interested in buying a widget today? Closed-ended question. Yes or no answer. No, I don't want it. Open-ended. Hey, what kind of widget were you looking to buy today? You want a black one? You want a gold one? You want a silver one? You want a red one? What do you want? So those are some examples of closed-ended and open-ended questions. The idea is you want to use more open-ended questions. And usually that's more appropriate, especially if you're trying to have a nice conversation with somebody. If you're interviewing a potential hiree, a potential person that work for you, if you are just trying to break the ice with somebody, or if you run out of stuff to say during a conversation, you know, shift gears into the open-ended area of questions and conversation. And that way you can get somebody to continue talking for longer periods of time, because it requires not just more thought to ask the question, but also the response requires more thought as well. Now, moving on, the final area of emotional intelligence is relationship management. Here's some relationship management strategies for you. The first one is to accept feedback, even when it's negative, baby. Even when it's negative, appreciate feedback when you get it and carefully monitor your own response, right? Because sometimes, especially if somebody's critiquing you, or if somebody's telling you, trying to explain to you that what you did was wrong or hurt them or that they didn't like that, well, you can literally feel yourself putting your guard up, can't you? You can feel your emotional guard going up. And what we all want to do is to monitor that and acknowledge it. We want to acknowledge that it's often just as hard also to give feedback to somebody as it is to receive the feedback. So let the person know that you appreciate them. Hey, I appreciate your feedback. I can see how sometimes I might come off a little strong, or I can see how sometimes I can say things that hurt your feelings, or I understand that what I said to you didn't feel good, or what I said to you made you feel as if I didn't care about what you were saying to me the other day, but I want you to know that I do. You see, accept the feedback. Instead of saying, what are you talking about? I care about what you say. I care about what you tell me. That just puts the other person back on guard, and then it makes them less likely to approach you about that in the future. You see what I'm saying? That's the first tip for relationship management strategies. The second tip here is to acknowledge the feelings of people around you. Acknowledge the feelings of those around you and accept their right to express emotions without pushing your own beliefs to the side, or without trying to impose your own beliefs upon them, or overreacting to somebody else's beliefs. So instead of doing any of that, you want to listen, reflect what people said, repeat what others say about how they're feeling. You know, if somebody says that they're frustrated when it's your turn to talk, it's a good idea to say, hey, I understand that you're frustrated. I understand that you're angry. But ideally, using some of those key phrases that they used can help you when you pick back up the ball in the conversation and keep it going or keep the dialogue moving. Next tip, get mad, but only do so intentionally. Now, expressing your anger, it's healthy, right? But you want to do so in the right situation. So you want to maintain control of your feelings so that your passion, your anger, your frustration comes out sparingly and when you most need it. If you're always yelling, right? If you're always pissed off, if you're always angry, then that people just begin to believe that that's your personality. And there's less weight to your anger if it comes out all the time. But if you become skilled at this habit of emotional intelligence, of emotional management, well, you'll be able to decrease your outbursts. You'll be able to decrease those crazy moments that we all have from time to time. And you'll be able to then only let the volcano burst when it really needs to. You get what I'm saying? You want to find ways to define the degree of anger that you're feeling and find other ways to respond if anger is not the correct response. So, for instance, if you have a flat tire, that can piss a lot of people off. Totally understandable. But is it really worth getting absolutely angry about? Well, no. I mean, it is what it is. It's out of your control. Now all you need to do for, you could also just say, hey, I'm so grateful. This sucks that I have a flat tire right now, but hey, at least I've got a car. At least I'm alive. At least I have a way to drive places that I want to go or to work or whatever. Right? And when you're grateful for something like that, and when you start to think about those little things that we often take for granted, hey, all of a sudden that flat tire, no big deal. AAA is going to be here in no time. And if I'm a little late, who cares? I got a flat tire, whatever. It's all good. It's out of my control. No reason for me to get pissed off. No reason for me to get angry. No reason for me to blame anybody else about this, for this. It is what it is. Reality is reality. So that was my final tip, by the way, for relationship management strategies. These are it's a taste of some of the great tips, techniques, strategies that are outlined in the book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Many of these were inspired from that book, especially those four areas of emotional intelligence. And some of it was stuff that I injected as well. But if you do want the full audiobook summary or text-based book summary for this, from this book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, you can pick that up over at getflashbooks.com. Hey, until next time, you know what to do. Go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.
It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.